the stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the player cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This time around, we're taking a look at the Mystic cards. This is part one of a three-part series. We'll take a look at the multi-class Mystic cards in a separate video. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Autofail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the optional list of taboos, or that are just bad for the game, get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. Speaking of amazing members of the community, I'd like to give a special shout out to Peter Bjorklund, the latest patron to embrace the darkness. Thank you very much, Peter, for your tremendous support. It is greatly appreciated. I hope that you have a fantastic 2022 filled with nothing but Elder Signs. If you would like to be amazing like Peter, support the channel's goals, and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. I'd also like to thank Cole Monroe Chitty for the amazing art that graces this channel, Nicole Fiscus for the new Whisper in Darkness logo, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for the intro as well as the overlays. Thank you very much. I couldn't do it without you. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to our reviews of the player cards in the Edge of the Earth expansion. We are taking a look at the Mystic cards. Of course, this will be part one of a three-part series. If you enjoy this type of content, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. It really helps out the channel. We're going to start things off with the permanent. Every class got one, and Mystics received Down the Rabbit Hole. It is an asset that has no cost since it is permanent and starts the game in play. Limit one per deck. Purchase at deck creation. After each scenario of a campaign, reduce the experience cost of the first two cards you upgrade before the next scenario by one. Increase the experience cost for you to purchase new cards by one. What do we think about Down the Rabbit Hole?
This card really pigeonholes you into playing certain cards and figuring out a certain deck. And once you do, you basically just kind of break the experience of that deck, and I don't really see how this promotes anything other than that.
Yeah, that's true. Like, personally, as a rule, extra XP, using things like Delve Too Deep, that's fine. If you enjoy that, do that. Personally, I'm not a big fan of trying to break the XP curve, because we can assume that most campaigns have this, they're kind of tuned to a certain XP range for each scenario. So if you go above that, you kind of end up overpowering the scenario. So at least, so the thing about Down the Rabbit Hole is that it is a puzzle for you to solve with your card pool. But once you've solved it, there is no risk and no cost. Like, you're getting free XP and you're doing nothing. All you had to do was plan your deck out. And that's it. Like, it's not even as interesting as Delve Too Deep is, because at least with Delve Too Deep, you have to actually draw it and play it and take an encounter card and, you know, cheese it by having three or four investigators resign and then give everyone a victory point. But Down the Rabbit Hole, it's not even that. You just solve the puzzle in you know, on Arkham DB, and then there you go, free XP.
Yeah, the other issue too is, like, comparing this to Delve Too Deep is that it only affects you. So it's not even like you're spreading the fun around the table. You just kind of selfishly, like, hoard, hey, I have all these five experience spells now in my deck. Yeah. And everyone else is like, oh, I've got my 45 automatic level 2 in my deck. You're like,
I got there, guys. Nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, I just feel like you said, it just doesn't promote interesting deck options. And then right. The other thing to note, what you were saying before we had started recording Man from Lang, is that there are no cards to upgrade to in this box. So it's like, if you just have this and the revised core set, what are you doing?
Oh my god, you're pr- pretty much right.
Yeah, there are four cards. There aren't no cards. There are four cards that you can upgrade to out of this. Yeah, the effect of this one is very similar to that of Arcane Research, which came out in Threads of Fate and immediately became very popular in many a Mystic deck because Mystics have sanity to spare. So what is so most were very willing to sacrifice two mental trauma to reduce the cost of the first card. They upgrade each after each scenario by two, which made upgrading cards like Shriveling, Mist Cerulean, Rite of Seeking, all of the cards that have sort of three level zero version and two upgrades a lot cheaper. This one is similar, but it does lack the mental trauma for one, so you don't take any trauma with this, and it removes the spell limitation. Arcane Research was limited to spells. This one is just limited to cards that you have in your deck. So you can use this on assets and other cards. I sat down and took a look at some of the cards that that this one tags, and things like Arcane Initiate suddenly are fair game. You can upgrade to, I believe it's the level 3 version. You get a bit of a discount there. There's the talents like Arcane Studies and Blood Pact, which are nice. Fearless, Guts, things like that you can upgrade now. Slightly cheaper, there's Parallel Fates, which we'll look at a bit later. I think it's in part 3 of our review. There's Robes of Endless Night and Sign Magic as well that you can trigger with this. If you are upgrading your Shrivelings, if you are using this, you get them for, say it would cost you, if you wanted to upgrade Shriveling 0 to Shriveling 5, it's going to cost you 10 XP. This lets you do it for 6 XP if you're willing to go the upgrade to level 3 and upgrade to and then upgrade to level 5. If you combine this with two copies of Arcane Research, and there's nothing that says you can't do that, you can essentially, if you are patient, you can upgrade Shriveling 0 to Shriveling 5 for 0 XP, which is crazy. And I think this gets back to what you were saying, Matt, is that you sit down, you build your deck in Arkham DB, you work out your upgrade path, and you just play the deck. And you have no cost, you have no limitations. It just, you're going to earn some XP and you're going to upgrade your cards for very cheaply. My biggest issue, and Nate alluded to this, is that this card does not work very well in this box because it does not synergize with most of the Mystic cards in this box because they don't have level zero versions. So pretty much every Mystic card in this box has a, this costs you one more experience point than is listed on the card if you put this in your deck. Now, you can argue that you're going to save all that experience points, say playing Shriveling. If you're upgrading Shriveling and you're saving, say, 4 experience points upgrading Shriveling, that means you can go back and spend that experience points on the cards in this box. But if all you've got is the revised core set and this box, it's not a particularly, I don't think that's very new player friendly. And then of course you've also got the new cycle of fight, investigate, and evade assets in this box, and all of those cost experience points. Each of them has a one experience point version and then an upgrade. But in order, you can't start with the level zero version, so in order to buy those cards, you're paying more experience points for them. And then this doesn't really, I think I worked it out on Brand of Cthuga, the Guardian Mystic fight asset. If you buy it and you don't include Down the Rabbit Hole in your deck, it's going to cost you 8 XP to go up to the level 4 version. If you have no Down the Rabbit Hole in your deck, it still costs you 8 XP.
Yeah.
So you're not really saving anything on it.
You know, just realized while you were talking there? Do you know who is like really like awful at using this? Norman.
Yeah.
He's awful at using this. Yeah, because he can't upgrade his secret cards at all. This costs him one of his 5 level 0 mystic slots. So all he's got are his 4 level 0 mystic slots that he's able to upgrade. Sure, they can be shrivelings, but then any other, you know, purchase he makes, like, he's got to pay extra for it. Oh, man.
I should say, speaking of cards that are actually nice with this, one is the Enchanted Blade, which you can get a nice discount on if you are, if you are playing Lily and you purchase the, if you go for the multi-class card from the secret name and then upgrade to the Guardian version that was in For the Greater Good, I believe, you get a nice discount there. But yeah, this card just seems awkward in this box. And I guess the other big problem I have with it is that it just sort of reinforces the traditional mystic upgrade paths, like shriveling, over experimenting with new stuff. It's just like, because you're just getting such a discount on those cards. It's just like, I'm going to play shriveling. I'm going to go shriveling 0-3-5, or I'm going to go Rite of Seeking 0-2-5, I think it is.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go mists, you know, whatever the upgrade path there. I'm going to go Ward of Protection 0-2-5. Yeah, I don't know. I just...
You just given me an idea. Do you know what I wish this card did? I wish this card let you play with more of your mystic card pool. What if instead of saving you money when upgrading, what if it let you like swap spells for each other and not have to get punished on XP for, say, okay, so let's say you start the game off, you have Rite of Seeking, right? And then you buy Rite of Seeking level 2. What if it let you swap Rite of Seeking level 2 for Sixth Sense level 4 for only 2 XP? And you didn't lose the XP for dropping your Rite of Seeking.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
I think that would be, more interesting. I mean, I think cards that encourage you to play with more cards in the card pool are better than ones like this, where it's like, this encourages you to play shriveling over the new fight asset.
Yeah.
So why would I bother playing with Brand of Cthugha when I can play with my shriveling and upgrade it if I combine this with Arcane Research for 0 XP? I've already got shriveling. I don't need the brand too, probably. So,
did we ever hear back on that level 8 permanent shriveling, by the way?
No, I think it's still in production.
They never got back to us? Okay. Still in production? Okay.
Yeah. I spent quite a bit of time the other day going through all the various upgrade paths and working out the XP. And that's basically what you're going to do if you purchase this card. You're going to sit down, work out what your deck is going to look like when you have 20 or 30 or 40 XP, however much you expect to earn during a campaign. And then you're just going to play and follow that upgrade path, and you're probably not going to stray from it too far. You're going to play the traditional cards, like all the ones that already have upgrades, like Shriveling, Mists, Rite of Seeking, Sixth Sense, Wither, all of those cards, and the cards in this box are going to take a backseat because most of them you can't upgrade and you're going to pay more for them. How would we rate this one?
I don't like what this card promotes. I was never really a big fan of Arcane Research, kind of for the same reason. I just kind of feel like it doesn't solve the issue in the right way or in an interesting way. It just, like you said, Man from Lang, it just reinforces that upgrade to shriveling, upgrade to whatever else is already a staple in the game for 6 years. And it's like, I just kind of wish it would promote something else. And I think for that reason, and it combined with arcane research, I'm going to give this thing a curse token. I just don't think it promotes healthy gameplay.
Yeah, I'm also going to give this thing a curse token. Doesn't promote healthy gameplay. Helps you break the XP curve without any risk in game or any cost in game. And then it's just kind of awful. Like, Norman is horrible at this. And then it also punishes you for basically not having a full card pool or not being willing to, you know, go to Arkham DB and print out images so you can, like, proxy your upgrades. I don't like this card. First token.
Yeah, you know, as the moment before you said curse token, Nate, I was like, yeah, this is a curse token. I don't know how many of them I've given this box. I mean, obviously there are a few secret cards that deserve it, but I didn't have curse token in mind with this one, but yeah, the more we talk about it, it just, there are so many of those, the sets, the fight, yeah, investigate, evade sets. And I mentioned, you know, the traditional ones like Shriveling Mists, Right, and then you've got Sixth Sense and Wither, and then there's Eye of Chaos, Armageddon, Shroud of Shadows follow the same thing. You've got Clairvoyance, Azure Flame, and Effable...
Ineffable Truth.
Encyclopedic list. So those are the cards you're going to be using with this. You just pick the one that's right for your deck and go for it. And if you're using those, why bother experimenting with any of the cards in this box? Because they don't have level zero versions. You're going to pay more for them, and they just duplicate effects that already exist. So you're going to save yourself a ton of XP. Which, I mean, man, I don't think there's any other class in the game that even gets remotely close in terms of XP savings compared to what this thing can provide over the course of a game. I think I saw on ArkhamDB somebody had worked out a Dexter deck that was saving 38 XP or something like that over the course of a campaign.
Because he gets Sharn's Obol.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, seriously, like 30, if you can save yourself 38 XP, there's a problem.
That's a whole campaign of XP.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's effectively doubling his XP. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, this one gets a curse token. I mean, I can see, I'd be curious to play this in a Lily deck and use it to see, okay, can I get an Enchanted Blade for a little bit cheaper? Can I get, is there maybe like a Holy Rosary is a nice thing for her? She could get, start off with level zero Holy Rosary, upgrade to the Guardian level Holy Rosary. You save yourself some XP there. So I can see some interesting builds that this opens up that aren't the traditional sort of mystic triad, for the lack of a better term. But I think a lot of players are just going to drop this in with Arcane Research and just break the XP curve over their knee and proceed to just crush campaigns, especially in those later scenarios where they're just going to be so overpowered that... they won't face that much trouble. The next card in the box is a weapon. This is Dragonpole. This was spoiled in the Edge of the Earth preview article many, many months ago at this point. It's a 3-cost asset with a combat skill icon, item, weapon, and melee traits. You have one additional arcane slot. As an action you can fight, you get +1 combat for this attack for each of your arcane slots that is filled. If at least 2 of your arcane slots are filled, this attack deals +1 damage. The Dragon Pole takes up both hand slots. What do we think about the Dragon Pole?
I tried this card out in Lily, and it's okay. It is not as difficult as you may initially think to fill up 2 arcane slots with this card. And then once you do, it's +2 and +1 damage. It's basically like a better baseball bat at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you're playing baseball bat and someone like Agnes, you know, this card is pretty decent in investigators like that. And with Lily, you know, if you're planning on using something like Butterfly Swords or Cyclopean Hammer, then this is a pretty nice temporary slot for that card. So I like it. It was serviceable in the couple scenarios I played it in.
Yeah, I actually ironically ended up taking a Lily into Return to Forgotten Age, doing the Dragon Pole thing. And the campaign's still in progress, and I've upgraded out of Dragon Pole. But it works pretty well for 0 XP. So I look at it as just being, you fill the condition, you get +2 to attacks and +1 to damage forevermore. So like if you look at that, and you look at that alongside like Machete and Enchanted Blade and Baseball Bat, like... No, this is pretty good. I mean, you get an ammo-less way of doing 2 damage attacks. You know, it's not bad. Yeah, it's a fine card. Plus, it kind of encourages you to play a couple of spells. Flesh Ward, baby.
Yeah, plus, like, Mystics don't rely on their hand slots to investigate. Yep. So, like, unlike a Guardian or a Rogue where you're kind of reliant on playing, like, a Flashlight or a Lockpicks or something like that. Like, Mystics don't have that problem. And the fact that this gives you an extra Arcane slot can actually be pretty helpful. You can play your two general spells, which is your Investigate and your Fight. And then maybe you want some other utility spell, and now you can all of a sudden do that, which is pretty cool. Yep. You know, another investigator I think that could use this pretty well is Akachi. She's got three combat, and then she already likes to play things with charges on them, so you're going to be playing arcane spells anyway, so, you know,
yeah,
I think it's fine.
I think there's also something to be said about one of Lily's, what were they called? They're not called stances. One of her disciplines, yes. So the one that I think is totally worth digging into and building around is the agility one. So one thing about the agility one is, okay, so that one says one at a time you take up to three different fight or evade actions. So one thing that's really nice about the Dragon Pole is that it gives you more space to include, say, Shriveling or Azure Flame. So when you go to flip out and do your Flurry combo, you can hit with the Dragon Pole, you can then hit with an Azure Flame or a Shriveling. Azure Flames better because you can say Hadouken with Azure Flames. And then you can like follow that up with either like a regular fight or like an event, like a Spectral Razor, the Shoryuken. So what I'm saying is that the extra Arcane slot kind of synergizes with that particular discipline, which is kind of, I think, a lot of the draw of Lily. That whole idea of like, I take one action and I make three attacks. It's fun.
I think a card like this is where my bias as a solo player comes out, because I feel like in solo this is a little slow, because not only do you have to get this out, but then you've got to fill those arcane slots, and that's going to take time and resources, and I don't think you have the luxury in solo play of setting up a card like this. Really, if you're playing in solo, you really need to be ready from basically turn one to handle enemies, and it can be very difficult indeed if you are you draw an enemy on turn one and you don't have a weapon and you're just using your native combat and no damage bonus. And so essentially, if you play the Dragon Pole turn one, it's a knife, which is not great. And it's actually, I think, kind of worse than a knife, because at least the knife, you could throw the knife and get bonus damage, bonus combat and bonus damage. With the Dragon Pole, you don't. And if you were to draw an enemy on turn one and you had the Dragon Pole, you're not going to have the luxury of taking attacks of opportunity to fill those arcane slots so you can get the bonus damage. So you're in a pretty rough spot, I think. As a solo player, I would simply prefer to play Enchanted Blade, which costs the same, requires no setup, provides pretty similar bonuses to this, and it has the relic trait, which does matter in campaigns like Path to Carcosa, where there are certain enemies that you need that trait in order to kill them effectively. I kind of wish that they did include a leveled version of the Dragon Pole, an upgrade for it, because I've seen, I think when this card was initially spoiled, everybody immediately attempted to build the ultimate Dragon Pole deck by maximizing the number of arcane slots they could create using various cards like Hierophant and Sign Magic and whatnot, and trying to just really max out the number of arcane slots, and then trying to fill those arcane slots with cheap assets like scrying, which, I mean, none of us liked scrying, and I would certainly not put scrying in a deck just to make Dragon Pull better. That seems very strange to me. I have seen a deck that did it, but I think it's also important to note that deck, the first thing they upgraded out of was Scrying as soon as they got an XP. So it's not like Scrying was a center. But I think that would be an interesting deck if there was an upgraded Dragon Pole, simply because Dragon Pole never does more than one damage.
Right.
So it's, even if you were to say, spend a lot of XP in order to maximize the number of arcane slots, you're never doing more than one damage with the Dragon Pole unless you go into things like enchant weapon. So you can boost the damage, but you can also do that with an enchanted blade or a cyclopean hammer. So I think that the whole arcane slot dragon pole deck would be really interesting, but I think we need an upgraded dragon pole to really see it come to fruition.
Picture this, guys. I got it. What if the upgraded dragon pole lets you spend charges on your spell assets to power it up?
Now that would be cool. If there was a card like that, you know, that was basically like Torrent of Power on a stick, that would be sweet.
There you go. Yeah.
Sadly, there is no card that exists like that.
That would be That would be a cool Akachi deck if you threw that and decorated Skull in there.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be a fun deck to play. Yeah. So yeah, like I think I would have liked to have seen an upgraded Dragon Pole just to sort of bring that deck out. But I think what happened is we got Cyclopean Hammer instead, which I haven't seen many Lily decks that don't. True. Might take them time.
It's the flavor of the month right now.
Because it's 10 XP, you know, to get two copies, it's 10 XP. But, you know, in a lot of those decks I've seen, it's not a matter of if, but when you're upgrading out of Dragon Pole into that card. So how do we rate this one?
Give this card a 0. I think it's okay. You know, I think the decks that you're gonna play it in, it's gonna be actually not the hardest thing to be able to fulfill that +1 damage. You know, it's like if you're already gonna play something like Rite of Seeking or Sixth Sense, that's one of the slots right there. And then it's not that hard to find another spell, whether it's something like Mists of Rillie. You know, maybe you need to evade something, it costs 2 resources, it's cheap enough to reasonably play and keep on the board. Or, you know, you just play a second Shriveling or a second combat spell, and then all of a sudden, now you have a baseball bat with no downside on it, which is fine. You know, it's not something I would keep in my deck long term, but if I'm planning on playing the hammer or planning on playing some two-handed asset, then it's fine. You can also do the enchant weapon combo, so now all of a sudden only you need 1 spell, so that's pretty decent. No, so I think a 0 is fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine for what it does. I think it's a 0. I think this is actually like it's got a decent design behind it where you fulfill the condition and then all of a sudden you get unlimited 2 damage attacks. Like for a 0 XP card, fine.
Yeah,
I wish there was an upgraded one. Oh man, you got me thinking now.
Yeah, as much as I don't like this in solo play, I'm going to give this a 0 simply because I think it is more of a multiplayer card for somebody like Lily or possibly Akachi to experiment with. It does what it does, and I think you'll be, like you said, it's not hard to fill those arcane slots. In multiplayer, you do have more time to do that, and so the speed issue isn't a huge factor. If you're playing solo, though, I would probably recommend looking at some of the other weapons available before this one, just because, man, I would hate to draw an enemy on turn one and just have my dragon pole and being like, okay, well, I guess we're going to do this. I'm just going to smack you over the head with this dragon pole 4 or 5 times until you die, and then hopefully I'll still be alive to play the assets to fill those arcane slots so I can actually kill the next enemy that comes down the pipe. The next card in the box is Meditative Trance. It is a 2-cost event with a willpower and intellect skill icon, insight and spirit traits. For each of your arcane slots that is filled, either heal 1 damage or 1 horror. Now this is similar to cards that we have seen in the past, namely Emergency Aid in the Guardian card pool and Logical Reasoning in the Seeker card pool. If you combine this, say, with something like the Dragon Pole or other cards that give you arcane slots, this one has a much higher ceiling on it, potentially healing a lot more damage and horror, but I think we all know how I feel about cards that heal damage and horror.
Yeah, this card's pretty underwhelming. Sure, I get to heal a couple damage and horror if I have 2 arcane slots filled and more if I do, but like, Hollowed Mirror is a card that does the same. which most investigators that can take this card can also take Hallowed Mirror. I mean, even investigators like Akachi can take Hallowed Mirror, that's right. Sister Mary. I could go on and on and on, but like, case in point, you know, there's much better options that are much more reliable. And like in the case of Hallowed Mirror, Soothing Melody also draws a card.
Yeah.
So you're also getting a draw, and you can heal ally assets.
And other investigators.
Like, this card is just, it only heals you, which I think is a big hindrance to this card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I understand why this is in the box.
Mm.
Because of the new basic weaknesses that need to be healed. And it sounds like there's something going on with Edge of the Earth where you're going to want to, like, keep allies alive or something. So, like, I understand why it's there, but don't build around it.
But this doesn't heal allies, so...
Oh, never mind.
Yes, so you can't even keep them alive with it.
You can't heal other investigators or allies with this thing. The healing is dependent entirely on how many arcane slots you have filled. And like you said, there's Hallowed Mirror, which gives you access to Soothing Melody, which is great. And Deny Existence is free and a lot more versatile.
Yeah, that's true. Also, Lily has one of her disciplines, Alignment of Spirit, lets her, you know, without having to spend deck slots, you know, heal herself. So she doesn't even really need this once she takes Alignment of Spirit. Okay, so I guess I can see a scenario where you start off with Balance of Body as Lily, and then around 15 or 30 XP, you get Alignment of Spirit. And until for the early scenarios, I guess you take this if you don't own Deny Existence and you don't own Hallowed Mirror, and then you upgrade it into I've Had Worse level 2 because you're a champ.
Yeah, how if you would don't we have Circle Undone. I want to give this thing a tentacle, but I feel like some people are going to get mad.
Oh, I'm definitely giving it a tentacle.
No, Nate. Don't worry about the community, okay? Don't worry about the community. Don't worry about the reaction. Don't worry about what I'm going to think about you after this, okay?
We can fight about it in the comments, but...
I'm going to respect you either way.
We can fight about it in the comments, but this one is this one's an auto fail. Emergency Aid is better. Logical Reasoning is better because it can get rid of a terror card.
Oh, Second Wind? Second one's pretty good, in my opinion.
If this had two willpower icons, I would...
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
It'd be a lot more generous, but yeah, it's going to get an auto fail for me.
Yeah, you guys have talked me into it. Like, I think the only scenario in which you play this is if you don't own anything but, like, the core and Edge of the Earth. I see why it's in there. That's why I'm, like, loath to give it an auto fail, but yeah, if you have any other option available to you, you play that over this.
Yeah. Not a fan of healing events, especially ones that are subject to the number of arcane slots that you have filled. And theoretically, this heals for a ton, but just play Allies or Deny Existence or Hallowed Mirror or any of the other cards that that can do basically the same thing better. That brings us to a very interesting card in this box. This is Close the Circle, 2-cost asset that has a cost 1 experience point. It has a combat and agility skill icon, the ritual and synergy traits. It enters play with 1 charge for each class among cards you control, including this one. As a free triggered ability, you can spend 1 charge and exhaust Close the Circle to take a basic action. For each skill test performed during that action, you may use your willpower instead of the skill indicated for that action, and it takes up an arcane slot. If you were able to somehow muster all 5 classes, then this is 5 additional basic actions of any type that you can trigger during any free triggered ability window, which is creates some very thought-provoking timing issues that you can work with. One being the enemy phase. Of course, there's free triggered ability windows in all phases. Mythos, Investigation, Enemy, and Upkeep. This gives you a way to play cards in any of those windows, or to do basic actions in any of those windows, which is pretty cool. So that's maximum synergy. I feel like in most decks, You're probably going to play maybe two or three classes if you're playing with the new synergy talent. So probably getting two or three charges is more likely. Of course, Akachi gets an extra charge out of this. In terms of resource cost, Uncage the Soul plays this for free, or you can play with Antiquary, which also plays this for free. Although I've seen some debate as to whether Prophecy or Antiquary is better for Mystics, since I believe Prophecy deals with spells, which are much more common than rituals. But yeah, I mean, taking basic evade, fight, or investigate actions with 4 or 5 willpower is pretty good. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think even if you're getting it for like 2 or 3, that's still pretty good. You know, it's like essentially trading one action for 2 actions, and then you're getting a buff to it. And like you were saying, like being able to time those whenever can be really kind of critical. You know, say like you are about to die from an enemy attack, but you have like some soak in your hand, you can play it down, and then all of a sudden you're still in the game. Or, you know, there's tons of situations we could go through, but you know, this card allows you to do things that Mystics don't normally do, which is action generation, which is pretty cool.
Mystics don't have access to this type of seeker stuff, you know, or rogue stuff. Like, this is pretty cool. Yeah, just getting two. Yeah, getting 2 charges out of this, and then just banking those 2 for whenever you need them in any window. Because, like, for some reason, my brain, when I initially read this card, I thought it was, like, during your turn, you know, like shortcut or something. But, like, you can evade something after the hunters have hunted, but before they attack. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I like this card. Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to remind you about this class called the Seekers, and this particular investigator called Daisy, who could then continue to add charges to this card. You know, just in case you needed the Seekers to further steal your lunch. Like, okay. You know, just in case. So that's fun.
Mm-hmm. No, but let's not talk about that. Let's be we're all pro Mystic tonight, right? We are pro Mystic because Mystic are finally getting some of that a taste of that, a bite of that Seeker apple, you know, by getting some action generation. Yeah, I like this card. Yeah, even at 2, this is pretty cool. Like, just the fun stuff you could do. Like I was saying, you can evade during the enemy phase after hunters have hunted, but before they attack. Oh, that's great. You can like plop down an asset like mid turn. I'm sure there's some crazy things I haven't thought of yet. Like,
well, if you're in the mythos phase, you draw an enemy, that rats, you draw the rats. Rats hit the table during the mythos phase. You kill them before your turn even begins and move on.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty
handy. With your willpower.
With willpower. So, cool. So, like, if you're Agnes, it's just like, I've got a secret survivor and a mystic card down on the table. Maybe she delves into synergy to get a few more charges on this thing, but then Rats comes down, she kills it without even having to worry about it and moves on. I like cards like this. I mean, my biggest issue with it is, again, if you're playing down the rabbit hole, this costs 2 XP, which is like...
That's going to be true about every single card.
It's going to, I think I've written it on every single...
Oh, yeah, like post-it notes or something?
Yeah. It's like, this one costs more if you play down the rabbit hole, so don't. How would we rate this one?
I'm pretty tempted to give this an Elder Sign. It's really cool, and it's action compression in a class that does not get action compression.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, it's like, that alone makes it pretty useful. Like, I'm trying to find situations where this wouldn't be useful. And if you can think of one, let me know, but I guess... I guess it would be like when you don't have the resources to play it. But other than that, like, this is great.
But what about the, I guess the thing is like, would you be willing to sacrifice an arcane slot to this to say, okay, I've got something that has 2 to 3, maybe 4 charges on it that can investigate, fight, or evade? Or do I want Sixth Sense and Shriveling?
That's true.
Yeah, yes. I think because you would play this first, and it's not hard to use all the charges on this. Like, you can very easily just spend one every single turn until it's gone. And if it's only coming into play with 2 or 3 charges, it's only a couple of turns. And if in the case of, like, Sixth Sense, you just use those to investigate, and now you're getting bonus actions to investigate, and if it's a fight that you need to do, then you just evade the enemy for a couple turns until you're able to play that other spell down.
Also, play is a basic action. So one tactic you could do is you could use the last charge and close the circle to get a play to play your Sixth Sense to overwrite the close the circle that's about to be empty. Yeah. I like this card. My mind is blown.
I feel like this is potentially quite good in solo as well, because one of the problems you run into playing solo Mystic is that you draw your fight asset when you need your investigate asset and vice versa, and this is either or depending on what you need. So this would be a nice stopgap to have as just sort of an emergency backup. It's just like, okay, I'm playing, you know, a dedicated fight asset and a dedicated investigate asset, but I also have this in my back pocket in case I draw neither, and this will see me through until my Arcane Initiate finds me the card I need. Now, this Arcane Initiate doesn't work with this one. Arcane Initiate can't ritual. Find you this, but it can find you the other stuff, and this might be give you enough time. And like you say, Matt, by the time you draw your Shriveling, you've used this up, then you play your Shriveling to replace this, and away you go. Yeah, I really like this card. The more I talk about it, the more excited I am to play this one.
Plus, it's got really cool artwork. Like, you just want to play this card in your deck because it's just cool looking.
Oh, that is. Oh, now that I'm seeing it up close, that is cool artwork.
It's so the Nate's giving it an Elder Sign.
Yeah, I've been convinced. I was initially thinking before, you know, I was initially thinking when it was limited, just you take a fourth action on your turn. I was like, yeah, it's plus one. That's pretty good. Oh man, Elder Sign, being able to do all crazy stuff with this. Yeah, this is great, Elder Sign.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give this one an Elder Sign as well. It's just too, there's just too many interesting things that you can do with this. Even if the charges are limited on it, I mean, yeah, there are going to be people who make the argument like, oh, you're paying two resources and a card. You need to really, and an action to get this down. You need to get as many charges out of it as possible to make the math work out. No. But I'm like, the flexibility and versatility of this card is just on Mystics don't have access to this sort of stuff, and the ability to take actions in other phases is huge. And man, like, maybe there's something here with Agnes's ability as well, because her ability triggers, if you can trigger it multiple times in different phases, maybe there's something you can do with that. I don't know.
Oh, you can like provoke an AO in enemy phase to like by moving, and then you defeat the enemy that just hit you. Oh, there's like, I see.
So Elder Signs are across the board for Close the Circle. That's going to do it for our look at part one of the Mystic cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. If you agree or disagree with what we say here, make sure you leave a comment down below. We'd love to hear from you. Any final thoughts on the first bunch of Mystic cards?
Don't sleep on Close the Circle. That card's real good.
Yeah. We just reviewed a few pieces of cardboard and Close the Circle. So it was nice to end on a high note.
Yeah, I was... Man, I was a little frustrated, I have to admit, while I was getting this video ready, as I was working through down the rabbit hole. I mean, we've seen the permanents in this set so far be pretty, I mean, at least very interesting. You know, geared up, man, what a puzzle to solve there. And forced learning, maybe a little too good, but also create some interesting deck building problems or challenges for players. And then, of course, Underworld Support, again, another very interesting thing to solve. And then just this thing, which is provides a ton of XP at really no cost, which is unfortunate. Yeah, I agree. Close the Circle is a very interesting card indeed. Unfortunately, for some reason, the designers continue to try to push effects that heal on us. So Meditative Trance lands with a thud. We keep seeing these. I guess, I mean, maybe this is the Mystic equivalent of the crappy guardian weapon we seem to receive every cycle. There's always one of them, and mystics seem to get the healing event that is really unnecessary. So, but close the circle, man, I may just have to go and build a deck with that today. It's pretty exciting. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.